America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Gruden joins us, the former head coach of the Washington Redskins, offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals, and our longtime NFL analyst on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, we bring in Jay Gruden with us on the Team 980. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I am doing great. Not better than Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and the Washington Commanders offense, but I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, Jay. You put up some prolific numbers when you were here, going back to December of 2015, a lot of 2016 with Kirk and Deshaun and Pierre and Jordan and so on and so forth, and your play calling. I don't know if any of the numbers exactly match up. I don't think they do. I'm trying to do a little research on that. But do you remember like a four-game stretch? And really, for me, Jay, it's more of a two-and-a-half-game-ish stretch where an offense has been so electric, so dominant. It's unbelievable what they're doing.
Yeah, it really is. And, not to mention you have a rookie quarterback, but you also have a rookie left tackle, and I think a lot of credit has to go to him. He's doing a hell of a job. But the offensive line in general in the run game has been playing very physical. I think the addition of Zach Ertz and he's done a very good job in the blocking part of it. They have two other tight ends. The rookie's doing a good job. I think this all around the running game has helped out. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is playing amazing out of his mind, but other guys have to be mentioned too because, the offensive line is doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yesterday, if you look, I'm sure you saw this. They had an early third down little pitch toss opportunity. They got Brian Robinson in the flat when kind of it seemed like they were blocking the other way. Then on the Jaden Daniels touchdown run, he had a caravan around the right, and Tyler Biadasz, the center, as they're double pulling, is just walling people off. Not Tony Wiley, that was somebody we used to work with. Andrew Wiley on the McNichols touchdown just caves in from the right tackle. You mentioned Coleman, who I didn't even really notice yesterday, and that's a good thing, right? Because when you don't notice somebody, probably means they're doing a solid job and not a bad job. So when you say the offensive line, here's my question. How much does better quarterback processing, speed, getting through reads, play calling, that has a lot to do with it, but not all, of course, all to do with it, correct?
Yeah, well, for sure. You look at that touchdown round by McNichols, and nobody saw the John Bates and Brandon Coleman double team up to the linebacker. I've never seen a defensive tackle get pushed 9 yards down the field by a tight end and a tackle, and then they double teamed up to the mic, which enabled a free run for McNichols. A lot of people are doing it. And you also have to mention they're getting a lot of time because Arizona chose about probably 10 to 12, 13 times in that game to only rush three because they're scared of Jaden's running ability. And, they're playing a lot more coverage, which enabled Jaden to stand back there and look over the field and go through progression, and find a guy open. That's what's been most impressive to me is when he doesn't feel rushed, he doesn't run into pressure. He stays back, he stays poised, he scours the field with his eyes and finds two, three, four progressions on down and makes a throw. Some guys, when everything's kind of not there, they'll scramble around, but he just stays in the pocket where he's at. You know, when there is pressure, he gets away from it. So I don't know what you do as a defensive coordinator against this guy. Three-man rushes don't work, that's for sure. Four-man rushes aren't working. Five-man rushes definitely aren't working. So he's got the defense by the tail right now.
All right, so I've said this a couple of times, like since last Monday night. I guess we talked Tuesday after the game. But and I didn't see it as much yesterday as I did on Monday night. But I wanted to ask you from a technical standpoint, when a quarterback is making his drop, right, and then he doesn't see whatever he wants to see or needs to see to feel comfortable in letting it go, but then he starts to roll or he starts to move or he starts to scramble, usually, again, to his right, sometimes, I guess, to his left. What's the most important thing when a quarterback starts to move after he doesn't initially see what he needs to see or wants to see? Is it keeping his eyes up? Is it keeping his hips flipped? Is it keeping his feet? Like, how would you describe, like, the most important element to still remaining a passer while on the move?
For me, it's two hands on the ball. You see a lot of guys take the hand off the ball, then they get strip sacked. You know, so you got to keep two hands on the ball, first of all. And then once you find your areas to run, you try to keep your eyes up down the field and try to buy as much time as you can and then become a runner. And I think he's, you know, naturally gifted at that. You know, Arizona State, he's more of a runner first. LSU, he became more of a, I'm going to stay in the pocket and wait for these guys to get open. And I think he's kind of taken that on. Against Tampa Bay, it looked like he kind of looked like a little bit of his Arizona State days where he just took off and ran. But last two or three games, he's been very poised in the pocket. When he has to break contain, his eyes are downfield, he's finding guys. And if not, he just takes off and runs. He's very effective at both. That's what makes him so scary.
Yeah, you pointed out after the Tampa road loss, which was a season opener against Todd Bowles and a season defense, a blitzing defense, you said he kind of reverted back to his errors. I really think, like, people point to the hit he took against the Giants, that he got his wind knocked out, came out for a play, came right back in, and then he had the big second half. I don't know if it was that or if it was just, hey, you know, I played six quarters. I realized I can't run all day. I've got to become, again, the passer first. And largely, that's what he's been. Again, that doesn't mean he doesn't run. Obviously, we saw that yesterday. But passer-first mentality is probably going to keep you healthier because there's more protection in the pocket. Is that a thing, too?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, some guys get hurt in the pocket, some outside. You saw Anthony Richardson get hurt on a couple of runs yesterday. So just got to be careful. He's doing a good job. He got outside the pocket and slid nicely. I think he understands that he's not the biggest guy in the world. He can't be taking these big hits. You know, I think if it's a competitive down, third down and eight, he's trying to get 8 yards, he might lower his shoulder to try to get his first down. But for the most part, I think he understands his body and understands how to protect it. I mean, hell, he played 5 years in major college football, didn't get hurt, I don't think. So he's done a pretty good job so far in his career.
Jay Gruden is with us. You can follow him on X at @coach_Jay Gruden. Check out what he's doing for Underdog Fantasy and everything in between. He's all over it. And maybe you can win yourself some money by following Jay Gruden. So let me ask you this. A big thing for me, and I'm curious what you would have done in this spot, yesterday up 24-7, 4th-and-1 at the Arizona 40, midway through the third quarter. Now, 4th-and-1 is very, very makeable. We all know 4th down has become more of an in vogue thing. All understand that. But in that spot up 24-7, DQ goes for it. They run the ball. They get McNichols on a 15-yard run, which is great. But, like, I'm so impressed by the fact that they didn't get conservative and that they didn't just, I don't know, take like a fall, like a delay a game and give Tress 5 extra yards to maybe pooch punt or something like that. I'm so impressed by the fact that they understand, A, they have a leaky defense, and B, like, they trust Jaden and this offense seemingly implicitly already at this stage.
Yeah, I agree, and I think a lot has to do with it, the way the game's gone so far. They were running the ball pretty effectively, and Arizona really had no answer in anything that Washington was doing, except for the interception. Jaden just got a little bit greedy on that one. What a terrible throw. He saw Terry, and he just overthrew him a little bit. But for the most part, this line was getting pushed all over the place, and Arizona had no answers. And I think when you feel that, you feel like you own in the line of scrimmage, it makes it kind of easy to go for 4th-and-1. Hey, we're going to get a yard. We're going to run inside zone. We're going to run outside. We're going to run whatever we want and get it and feel pretty good about it because of the success we've had so far in the game.
And another, I guess, game management thing that I was curious from your perspective on, because I thought it was interesting. Not controversial, but just interesting. When Terry scores the touchdown, and it's 33-14 after he scores the touchdown midway through the fourth quarter, or I guess 8.5 minutes left. You're up 33-14. You know, I mean, look, it made all the sense in the world to go for two, Jay, which they did, and they made it, and made it a 21-point game. In that spot, though, I've seen coaches just say, hey, you know what, let's just take the point that's available to us, kick the extra point, and walk away, and it's a 20. They're not going to score three touchdowns in eight, you know, plus minutes. What would you have done in that spot, do you think?
100% go for two. He did the right thing. You never know. Yeah, you kick off, and they get a long return, and all of a sudden, you're up by two scores, and you're only up 13 as opposed to 14. That's a big point. And I think anytime you have a chance to go up by 21, three touchdowns, I think you take that opportunity. 19 and 20 and 21 aren't that big a difference, but being up 21 is a big difference. Now you're forcing Arizona to kick three extra points, a tie, or go for two to beat you.
Right. Yeah, that is true, because then if they do score the three times, they – like you said, unless they convert on a two-point conversion on at least one of them, they can't beat you. And again, I liked it. I didn't have any problem with it. I just found it interesting. And to me, it just says how much they trust not only the quarterback, but, you know, quite honestly, the offensive line and all the weapons and all the receivers as well. The defense, Jay, real quickly before we move on to the rest of the NFL. So I was mad at everybody for screaming about DVOA and this, that, and the other thing after the Bengals game. And I said, well, the defense got off the field a couple of times in the first half. I think we discussed this last Tuesday. And, you know, I know they're not good enough. I get it. But at least they forced a couple of Bengals field goals, and that was key in them helping them win the game. And then yesterday, obviously, they go out and put together their best performance, even though it wasn't great. Where do you think this defense is right now at the quarter pole of the NFL season?
I think the improvement they showed last against Arizona was significant now. I mean, Arizona's a pretty good offensive football team. Connor's a hell of a back. And they got Marvin Harrison Jr., the number one receiver in the draft last year, and obviously Kyler Murray, who can extend plays as good as anybody in the NFL, and they shut them down pretty good. You know, the opening drive was a touchdown, and then they didn't score again until, you know, late in the third or whatever it was. So yep. I think getting those stops and allowing Jaden and the offense to pull away and get a big lead is huge. So I was impressed with their defense. I finally saw Allen and Payne make some plays. Mm-hmm. Payne got a half sack. Jonathan got a sack.
Yep.
You know, the fourth and one call that Arizona got a sack on was a head scratcher that, you know, they got a sack on. So just overall, I think guys are participating. I like Wagner. I think he's running the show with a lot of confidence. Still have a lot of concern with the back end, but they didn't really get challenged too much and because the pass rush was a little bit better.
When you say head scratcher on the Arizona fourth and one that Dorrance Armstrong comes from the blind side and sacks Kyler Murray on, you're saying head scratcher that they went for it in that spot or no?
No, if they ran that play, Connor had 100 yards rushing. I mean, he's a big son of a gun, hard guy to tackle. I'd like to try to get the first down. And then they went shotgun also, which was kind of a head-scratcher. You know, if you want to do a play pass under center, maybe a little spider two-wide banana or something like that, Chris. You know what I'm saying? But not a damn thing. Armstrong zip around the edge and sack your quarterback and wait for guys to uncover on drive. And it was a little bit of a weird call to me.
A little spider two-wide banana, huh?
Yeah.
that's still going to be that's got to be like the all time play call thing that your brother was known. I mean, spider what?
So the Vikings scored on spider to Chris Cross. So they're still alive and well, my friend.
I love it. Jay Gruden with us. By the way, how's your brother doing? I see he's doing some video stuff, right?
Yeah, he's doing some YouTube stuff and having some fun with it. Still waiting on his other stuff to go down, but he's doing good. He's having fun. He's still working in it. Wants to probably get involved in some other way future.
Attaboy. All right. That's good to hear. The Commanders win 42-14 yesterday. Jay Gruden is with us. Again, he's brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. You can follow him on the X at @coach_Jay Gruden. And he's with us usually every Monday at 3. Obviously, we moved around last week's schedule because the Commanders played on Monday night. Last thing on the Commanders that I'll ask you. You know, I used to always bitch and moan about how the NFL would screw you guys scheduling wise, you know, road Monday night game. I remember in 2014, your first year, we were in Dallas for an overtime road Monday night game. And then back in Minnesota the next week, I thought that was really unfair. They did it again here. I know the team went out to Arizona after the Monday night win. Would you find that like problematic, or do you look at that as just a thing and don't worry about it and not even think about it, not even let that seep into your players' brains?
Well, it's hard not to think about it because you got to go through it.
Yeah.
And the players got to go through it. Coaches, you know, it's hard on the players because it's hard on the body, but it's hard on coaches too. You know, getting the sleep and getting the preparation needed to put a successful game plan together. You got to have your video ready. You got to, you know, to travel and take everything to Arizona. It's a pain in the ass for the video guys. It's a nightmare, you know, so it's just tough from a preparation standpoint for the coaches and then from a physical standpoint for the players getting well and getting the necessary treatment to get them ready for the next game.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I agree. Glad that's over with. Hopefully it doesn't catch up to them this Sunday against the Browns. Speaking of the Browns, they lost in Las Vegas yesterday. No Davante Adams, no Max Crosby, no Davante Diablo for Vegas. They had an early lead, Cleveland. And then they just, I don't know, they just kind of fell asleep. I mean, how do you make heads or tails that we're still here a couple of years later? And, yeah, I know he's had the injuries, and I know he had the suspension. I mean, Deshaun Watson, he's been accurate, Jay, but they're not throwing the ball down the field at all. I know their offensive line is banged up, so I'm sure that's a big part of that. How do you put a finger on what's going on in Cleveland and specifically with Deshaun?
Well, offensive line is one thing. Losing Nick Chubb is a big deal. But the offensive line can't block anybody, and they can't get any running lanes for Ford or their running backs, which, you know, you can't have Deshaun Watson just drop back and throw it 35, 40 times a game. He's a 20 to 24 game attempt guy to be successful, and for him to drop back with limited pass protection is not good for any quarterback, let alone Deshaun Watson. And he's missing throws that he shouldn't miss. And then Amari Cooper drops one, hits him right in the bread basket, and it pops up, and it's intercepted by Vegas. So they got a lot of issues going on at Cleveland, but they got to get their tackles back, and they got to get some kind of running game going to have a chance, because if they can move the ball a little bit and keep their defense fresh, they'll be in every game, because they do have an excellent defense still. Denzel Ward's one of the best corners in the league. Miles Garrett's the best pass rusher, but if they're not playing with a lead and they're always trying to stop the run, Miles Garrett's not the best run defender.
Right.
And obviously Denzel Ward doesn't really do anything against the run either. They need to be in passing situations and let those guys hunt, and they haven't been.
So is that how you would if you're Cliff Kingsbury and you're starting to just quickly think of how to attack the Browns, it's running at Miles Garrett, it's trying to run to the perimeter edges? Is that how you would kind of think an early philosophical part of the game plan would be?
I think his game plan running the ball has been excellent. They do a lot of different ways. They do the inside zone. They did some toss cracks. They get out on the perimeter. They got some RPOs. They got some zone reads. So he's got to dial it in pretty good. But their bread and butter right now is the inside zone between the tackles, which, you know, packs everything in there. And then they bounce it outside and do some good things on the perimeter. So I think he's got a good mix of what he does. And you have to this day and age. You can't be one-dimensional in a running game. You got to have different ways to attack. And I think they're athletic enough on the inside where they can pull and do some different things, but they're also physical enough where they can move the line of scrimmage and get some positive runs between the tackles.
Jay Gruden is with us. Ted Britt Automotive Group brings him to us every Monday at 3 right here on the Team 980 and the BetQL guest hotline. So the Jets lost a game in the rain to the Denver Broncos. Jay, I know the Broncos are good on defense. This was a penalty-filled affair. Maybe the rain had something to do with it. Now there's this, you know, like we're trying to figure out the cadence. I know they've had some problems here in Washington with the cadence, but you wouldn't think with a 40-year-old veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, maybe you would have that. Do you buy any of that? Do you blame this on Salah? Do you blame it on Rodgers? How do you kind of dice this up?
Oh, you got to blame it on players sometimes. You can't keep blaming coaches for false starts. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has always been very, very good with his snap count. He has got more free plays and big plays in his career than any other quarterback that's ever played because of his usage of the snap count. And that just has to be understood with the linemen. They have to understand, hey, we got Aaron Rodgers, that's great, but we had better focus in on the Scott Dank snap count because he's going to use it, and he's going to use it all the time. He's going to be relentless with it. He's going to make sure that he uses every second of the play clock to his advantage by using a snap count, seeing a defensive rotation, trying to get a guy to jump off sides, trying to get a free play, and you just got to be dialed in. And they weren't dialed in yesterday for whatever reason. Before that, they never had a problem, but yesterday they did for some reason.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, you know, and everybody, a lot of people had the Jets as a preseason fan. I mean, people gave up on Denver, and all Denver has gone out. You know, look, it hasn't been pretty. I mean, they throttled Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay to do what they did 2 weeks in a row against, you know, two pretty good teams. You know, really interesting. How about Minnesota, Jay? They hung on for dear life in Green Bay. I think not having the Packers, Jair Alexander, Jordan Love looked rusty for the first three quarters. They came alive late, but here Minnesota is 4-0, and rocking and rolling. And I don't know, Sam Darnold's, like, he didn't play great in the second half, but he sure as hell was great in the first half.
Yeah, they got a good combination going. You know, Aaron Jones doing a good job. They got two really good tackles.
Yeah.
Darius Saul and O'Neal are very, very good. And obviously the weapons on the outside, Addison and Jefferson and this other guy, Jalen Naylor, whatever his name is, he's doing a good job.
Yep.
But defensively, I mean, they're amazing on defense. Brian Flores done a great job. They get you a lot of different ways. They got guys that can do multiple things, rush, drop, cover. They're just putting a lot of pressure on the opposing offense. Jordan Love got going there in the second half, but I think as far as a total team is concerned, they're playing the best football, offense, defense, and special teams right now in the NFL.
And last one for you, the Bucs. Again, they got out to the big start against the Eagles. The Eagles were playing without Devontae Smith and without A.J. Brown. Do you put that on that and say, well, if they would have had those guys, different ball game, maybe a chance to win? Or do you put this on the what seems to be the buzz around the water cooler, if you will, and that is still this like divide and this relationship between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni?
Yeah, I mean, they got to put that to bed. They got to, you know, they somehow figure out ways to leave it open in press conference and all that stuff. They got to make it known that they're together. They've lost three major players, Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown. They still had an opportunity to keep it close. But defensively, they got to figure something out. They got to get after the quarterback. Jalen Carter's got to make some plays. He's as good a defensive tackle as there is. They're not getting them one-on-ones enough. Bryce Huff has to show up. He hasn't done anything. The secondary struggled a little bit, so you know, if you can't just pin it all on Jalen Hurts and the relationship with the head coach, I think it's a total team effort right now is why they're struggling. They got to figure it out.
Jay, good spot as always. Appreciate you. And we'll talk, next Monday after the Browns and the Commanders.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
All right, there you go. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters. Ted Britt Chantilly, Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.